In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I'd bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I'd do my part. Yet what I can, I give him. Give him my heart. Our scripture readings this morning, especially the gospel reading, are very, very dear to my heart. Our gospel reading this morning specifically was the charge given to me at my ordination by my liaison from the Committee on Preparation for Ministry, who got me through 10 years of being under care of the Presbytery of Detroit, through people telling me that I was too bubbly and too outgoing to be a minister, and that I was too personable to survive as a minister. People who told me to change my gift. Pastor Tom, who felt it was a privilege to take me under his wing as my CPM liaison, used to tell stories about how he used to work with my grandma. So that's how long he'd been through in the presbytery. He had been on various different presbytery committees with my grandma. Incidentally, he retired the Sunday after the PNC offered me the call. So that was a little, he was going out, I was coming in, it was a little weird. But anyway, I remember that moment from that day because Tom, who majored in English and minored in theater at Michigan State, almost blew out the speaker system at Westminster because he kind of went all full-on Jesus on us. And you know, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. And Jesus came near and spoke to them, and I received, and he, oh, geez, if you watch the video, I jumped back about a half an inch and was like, okay. It's after Jesus is resurrected. He's taught them everything he can teach. He's been crucified. He's been in the tomb 3 days. He's risen again. He's seen Thomas, and Thomas says, I won't believe till I put my fingers in the holes where he was wounded. Then I will believe. Next day, who pops up at the house but hit the resurrected Christ? And Thomas, he goes, go ahead, Thomas. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. He was with them for a while, doing those last lessons with teach, as it were. And we get to this. The 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted, because they were still not quite sure what they were seeing. They, you know, I see it, but I don't believe it. Jesus came near and spoke to them, and he said, I have received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of the present age. In that instance, right there, Jesus gave creation, gave the church, gave the faithful people their marching orders and said, it is not yours to hold on to, it is not yours to bury, it is not yours to hoard to yourself. You got to go out and you got to go, baptize all people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, making disciples of all nations. And remember, I'm with you even to the end of the age. He sent them out. He sent them to be stewards. They had to be good stewards of what they'd been given. They'd been following Jesus around for a few years, and they'd been listening to him and learning from him and changing their way of life because of him. And now, they weren't going to see him all the time anymore. This is like second death. Jesus is getting ready to ascend to the Father and sit on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. The living and the dead, depending on your translation of the Apostles' Creed. He's saying to them, he says, you won't see me all the time anymore, but I'm still there. These are people who have been run through the ringer, right? They've run for their lives. They've watched him get arrested. They've watched him be beat. They've watched him be crucified. They've watched him be buried. Like that wasn't bad enough. Then he came back like some cruel joke. As anybody who's lost anyone can say, that was a cruel joke. And he's been palling around with him for a little while, and now he's getting ready to leave him again. The dream is quickly turning into a nightmare again, people. And he says, no. No, 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 no. This is what Jesus is saying. He's like, no. No, 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 no. You're not done. You may not see me every day, but you're not done yet. Go and make disciples. Go spread the word. And I'm still with you. Every day. Until the end of time. So you go forward a few hundred years and you get Paul talking to the Colossians. And he says, therefore, as God's choice, holy and loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be tolerant with each other. And if someone has a complaint against anyone, forgive each other. As the Lord forgave you, so also forgive each other. And over all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The peace of Christ must control your hearts, a peace into which you were called in one body. He was calling disciples. He was spreading the news. It had come generations to him. From that day up on the mountain when Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. It had moved on. You are now generations later, and you're at Paul, and Paul is making the next generation of disciples, and he's saying, put on love and be kind and love each other and remember who you are and whose you are. You belong to God, and God calls us to love. God calls us to let go of the little things, because when you're holding on to the little squabbles, and for that matter, the big blow-ups and the dirty and the not peaceful and the not loving and the not God-inspired, you're not being a good steward of your time. So here we are, generations, and I mean generations after Paul, still doing the same thing, going out, making disciples, spreading the word, remembering that Jesus is with us even to the end of the age. Because while it may feel like it sometimes, it's not here yet, we'd know. The peace of Christ must control your hearts, a peace into which you were called in one body. And be thankful people. Be thankful people. The word of Christ must live in you richly. Teach and warn each other with all wisdom by singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in speech or action, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks to God the Father through him. Yet what I can, I give him my heart. So, when Tom read the gospel, charged me with the gospel reading, and said, go, make disciples, and remember I'm with you. I take great comfort in that. Because I know full well that in the hard days in ministry, and we're all doing ministry and we all have hard days, and if we can all agree on that, I'm so much better off here. We all have bad days in ministry. It happens. But if I stop and remember that my God and my Jesus, my Savior, the Holy Spirit, are with me always, it doesn't seem quite so heavy that I messed that up, or that I dropped the ball on that, or I maybe said something I shouldn't have said in a way I shouldn't have said it. It may have been what I felt like saying, but the filter failed me, right? If I remember that, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age, Jesus didn't leave. We don't see him all the time, but I see him in you, and I see him in you, and I see him in you, and you, and you, and you, and you. That's a reminder to be a good steward of the call I've been given. While we call it calling to the ministry and called to be the pastor of a church, or called to be an elder on session, or called to be the associate executive presbyter, or whatever it is, the call truly comes from God. The desire to be in relationship with God, the desire to follow that path God has for us, that desire and that need to be a faithful person is a call from God. It is that we are to be good stewards of. It is that when we do Stewardship Sunday, we remember, all right, we have our pledge cards, and yeah, okay, we're paying the church's bills, and now, yeah, that's just the nitty-gritty. Every one of us pays bills. But you remember with thanksgiving what paying the bills means. For example, we pay the electric bill and the heating bill. It means that when people come in on Wednesday mornings, they have a warm, safe place to be to get food. We pay to get stuff fixed around the church, and it means we have a secure place for us to meet, for the food pantry to be housed, for different various classes and other activities that go on in our building. We pay staff salaries, and it means that they are able to not worry about paying their own bills so that they can do the work that they're supposed to do. We pay whatever it is so that we can do our ministry. It's the nitty-gritty. Think about doing the bills at home. I pay the mortgage so I have a place to live. I pay the electric bill so that I have lights on in that place to live. I woke up this morning, I was able to have a cup of coffee. I got dressed and I got in my car. Those are four blessings right here, right now, that I know not everybody has. We have to stop thinking of stewardship as simply paying the bills for the church. It's more than that. It's a way to live. It's a way to remember and be thankful people. And whatever you do, whether in speech or action, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks to God the Father through him. It's the amazing thing about the presence out here on the bulletin board, which should be fully filled by today, so that I can finish that up and get a picture of it in tomorrow's email. Those little presents, what can I give him? And it's I give because. And the resounding theme is this: I give because I'm thankful. I give because of what God has given me. I give because I've got to give back to the one who gave me so much. I went through years of not being able to fill out a pledge card with anything besides I've pledged my time and my prayers. I've been there. I've watched people be there. I know how it goes. But I also know how important that pledge is, just like the one that's got 3 digits on it. It's all valuable stuff, and it's the reminder that what we have is not ours to keep, it's ours to do something with. Think about last week and the guy who had the 5 coins and the guy who had the 2 coins and the guy who had 1 coin. The guy who had 1 coin buried it, didn't do a thing with it. When the owner came back, he said, well, here's exactly what you gave me. And he got thrown out on his ear, had his coin taken away from him, and was thrown out on his ear and said, yeah, you didn't take care of what I gave you to take care of. You missed the point. Get what I can, I give him. When Christina Rosie was writing that poem, yeah, it's in the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan, and it's about Christmas and the nativity, but then you have the speaker, and it says, what can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I'd bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I'd do my part. They brought, what, gold and frankincense and myrrh, and there's a comment going around that the fourth one got thrown out for bringing fruitcake. Apparently, he didn't use enough rum. Anyway. Yet what I can, I give him. Give him my heart. When you are looking at your pledge card, when we get ready to commission those and commission ourselves to be good stewards of the church for this next year, I want you to hold on to that line right there. Yet what I can, I give him my heart, because after all, it's God who gave it to you in the first place. Be thankful people. And remember that Jesus is with you always. Even when life is going right to you know where in a handbasket. Even when everything is stacked against you, feel that hand on your shoulder. That's Jesus saying, I got your back. Feel those arms wrapped around you. I've got you surrounded, kid. You're fine. You are gonna be okay. It's the week before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Let's be Thanksgiving people. And be thankful while we're doing it because we have the ability to. Amen.